You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and wowie kazowie, my first book, Party in Your Plants, is outie and is sitting pretty as a number one best-selling new release for over 2 weeks straight now on Amazon. Today, I'm going to introduce you to it, literally, by reading the introduction. So let me finish this introduction so I can go read that introduction. Okay, introduction number one concluded. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I am over the moon excited about today's sponsor. Friend, this is my dream sponsor. The, oh my God, is this real life sponsor? The sponsor I've been dreaming about since I was a little girl, winning card-giving holidays with her reliable tearjerkers, ending fights with soul-spilling letters left on people's pillows, and surviving college by avoiding all test-taking classes and taking only essay writing ones. No, this sponsor is not a pen or a computer or those yellow Papermate Sharpwriter number 2 mechanical pencils that you turn the tip of, which I've used religiously for 2 decades. This sponsor is the thing I've been writing up to my whole life. It's my book. My first freaking real life will live in stores if stores ever open up again, but can live on your shelf right this second book, Party in Your Plants, which has been called in an Amazon review as the best plant-based book ever, as well as a cookbook that's way more than a cookbook, and a plant party heaven. Readers have also said that it's the best healthy living guide for your kitchen that you must purchase pronto. And so I'm here to tell you that you can promptly purchase Party in Your Plants, 100 plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart to buy yourself and your best friend and their best friend a copy today. That's PartyInYourPlants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that Amazon readers say you must add to your cookbook stack ASAP, because it gets all the thumbs ups. Welcome back to the show. Sorry for that ad there. I know that marketer is next level enthusiastic. She should really lay low on the matcha, huh? Wait, she just said that she's caffeine free and it's the plant partying that gives her that mojo. Interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, I procrastinated up until far past the last minute on this episode because it feels like a butt-ton mushroom of pressure to put out the episode about my book. So I'm popping that Instant Pot button right now and letting that pressure fly out for myself by saying, this is an episode about my book. There will be many. I am overwhelmed with passion for this published project of mine, and I am thrilled to be able to share it with you. Plus, since it's a cookbook, I didn't achieve my dream of being able to record it on Audible, so I'm going to use my podcast to audiobook it just a little. I did a slew of podcasts and radio interviews last week about my book and was admittedly caught a little off guard when 2 separate hosts asked me, super matter-of-factly, as if they were saying, so, what's the difference between coconut water and coconut oil? They asked me, what do you need more than you need a blender? That showed me that they skimmed my table of contents and put a question mark after part one, because part one is titled, What You Need More Than You Need a Blender. And then when you open to that part, you'll see in parentheses, but also why you need a blender. They missed that part, so I had to explain. It was a little odd, but it's not going to be odd for you, because here I go, reading to you from part one of Party in Your Plants, What You Need More Than You Need a Blender. But also why you need a blender, starting from page 1 for those following along at home. Part 1, what you need more than you need a blender, but also why you need a blender. You've bookmarked more healthy recipes than you could ever make in a lifetime. Your shelves are overflowing with clean eating cookbooks. Your pantry has more superfoods than your closet has super clothes. But you still can't get yourself to eat right on a regular basis. And you're constantly wondering, what the H-E double carrot sticks is wrong with me? I have good news. Nothing is wrong with you. You don't have a willpower deficiency. You won't benefit from another afternoon Pinteresting. And you don't need a fancy blender. Okay, you still kind of need a fancy blender. I mean, how else are you going to consume a bunch of plants in seconds so they taste good and make you feel good and look good too? This book, as life-changing as I hope it'll be for you, is not a one-to-one substitute for a blender the way that coconut sugar is a one-to-one substitute for regular sugar. But all you need really is this book. And unless you're just looking inside online or turning physical pages in a real life bookstore, in which case, cool, take a selfie to show your grandkids, you already have this book. So your work is done. Seriously, consider your work trying to eat healthfully done. Because as you'll learn, healthy eating shouldn't and doesn't require work. It doesn't require stress. In fact, stress kind of defeats the whole purpose. Healthy eating doesn't require suffering or a trust fund. It doesn't require a system or labeling yourself or a meal plan or tracking all your macros and micros and hippos or ashwagandha, unless you're into that. But I know that eating well is not always easy. Even though I'm a plant-based chef and wellness coach, doesn't mean that heads of cauliflower neatly chop and wash themselves in my kitchen. Dinner doesn't appear on my plate. My dishes don't self-scrub. Healthy snacks don't pop into my pockets on plane rides. But I still manage to eat well most of the time, so I can feel and look my best most of the time. And so I can ultimately live my best possible life most of the time. Because isn't that the point? Aren't we promised that at the end of the apple to zucchini rainbow, there will be greater health, smaller pants, clearer skin, I almost said plants there, and endless positive energy? Well, that is all waiting for you. But tell me how you're going to enjoy all that good stuff if you're stressed out the wazoo, huh? If you're panicked over what phytonutrient to eat or worried about how Uncle Lou looked at you at the family barbecue because you picked up a veggie burger instead of his famous lamb chops, who cares if you get sick less frequently or you look amazing if you're white-knuckling your way through your kale salad? I'll tell you this much. Your body sure as hell cares, because stress is worse for you than French fries, FYI. And that's why I'm going to teach you how to not eat Brussels with a bitch face. And that's why the only stress I support is stressing the importance of not stressing about healthy eating. I'm really happy that you're here, because what I've tried to do in my career is turn this whole "it's hard to eat healthy" umbrella inside out. And it's uncomfortable when umbrellas get turned inside out. You get wet, you cause a scene, you have to do that whole awkward backward hunch over maneuver to turn it right side out. But ultimately, an umbrella keeps you safe from the rain. And this book is going to keep you safe from a healthy diet ruining your life. Or a healthy diet being a thing you sometimes do when you're being good and on track. Enough with umbrellas. Let's party in your plants. So before COVID hit, I was working with a publicist to get me some TV spots. She was all enthused that she'd booked me for some cooking segments where I'd have to buy my own ingredients, schlep my own equipment, and demonstrate like 4 recipes in 4 minutes on local TV. I was less enthused. I told her that while, yes, my book is technically a cookbook, it's really an empowerment book to empower people to eat more plants. As an Amazon review so eloquently says, "This book is a food book that isn't actually about the food." And I mean that in the best way possible. Party in Your Plants is really about the party part, how to make your life feel like one that's worth celebrating every single day. Talia makes the great and accurate argument that in order to make your life one that's worthy of a celebration, you've got to treat it like it is. I really appreciate that she doesn't preach healthy living for healthy living's sake. She really makes it clear that it's a tool in your toolkit to help free up mental and emotional space for you to live big and bold outside the kitchen. My publicist said she didn't really understand, so I took a shot of kombucha and I binge wrote her an email subject titled, 9 Ways My Book and Myself Empowers People to Eat More Plants. I'd like to walk you through those ways now, starting with number 1. Actually, first, I'd like to just pop in here to remind you of another sponsor that I adore. Not as much as I adore my book, but as much as I adore my breakfast, because it's a key component to it daily. Sun Warrior's plant protein is the best. It's been my go-to make this plant food fill me up more tool for going on 8 great years now, and I have no intentions of slowing my roll with the Warriors. While I love using their classic brown rice protein as my waffle and pancake flour, I've been really digging their collagen-building protein peptides blended into my smoothies lately. When you look at collagen-building products out there, they're all made from the bones, the skin, and the connective tissues of animals like cattle and fish, horses, pigs, or rabbits. Ew. And, aw, sad. I learned from my friends at Sun Warrior that we don't really need to ingest animal-derived collagen because our bods are capable of generating its own. Their plant party solution, using plant-based ingredients like organic pea protein, brown rice peptides, sea buckthorn, vitamin C, spirulina, mushrooms, and hyaluronic acid, can help you improve your bone health and your vanity joy, your skin, your hair, your nails, from the inside of your body, because you drank it in a smoothie, out. If you want to get your mitts on Sun Warrior's collagen-building protein peptides, it comes in natural, which means flavorless, vanilla, chocolate, or ooh la la, salted caramel for 20% less than the rest of the world pays to get their mitts on it. Just go use the code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. That's code PARTYINMYPLANTS at checkout on their site, sunwarrior.com. Okay, 9 ways party in your plants empowers you to eat more plants. Number 1, it leads people to make the connection between their actions and how they feel. I specifically talk about how food makes us feel stuff, why we can't just willy-nilly it into our bodies and expect it to not have an effect. Here's an example of that I share on page 26 from the book. It's called, You Don't Know the Glow You Don't Know. Nicole started working with me to, in her words, lose weight, stop body shaming myself, and get my independence with food choices back. She had so much anxiety, guilt, and stress associated with food that she felt terrible about everything she ate while believing that nothing she did was good enough. Even though she knew it caused a ruckus in her gutkus, she ate ice cream and red meat and made frequent stops to Chipotle and Chick-fil-A. When she got stressed, she'd have an extra glass of wine, get a little lazy, and make indulgent choices that she later regretted. She needed help getting back to a lifestyle that would allow her to finally get her body and happiness back. We talked about ways to comfortably eat more plants and less crap, starting with a simple morning routine. Waking up, making a smoothie, sweating, showering, and chilling with a plant protein-packed breakfast. We craving clench and welcomed banana ice cream after a low-stress dinner. We swapped highly processed bread for a hearty sprouted bread, perfect for snacks of avocado toast or nut butter toast with blueberries or apple. I aimed to empower her to feel the joy of consistency. 6 days later, I got a text from Nicole saying that she had so much energy, it was unreal. She couldn't stop smiling and talking and was worried about coming off as obnoxiously chipper. She was glowing. Her coworkers asked if she was seeing someone new. A couple months later, Nicole was still going strong. Not because I sent her some superhuman willpower via my smartphone, but because she now knew how incredible she could feel. She had no idea that along the journey, she'd stumble upon a stockpile of energy that made her question how she'd been able to live all her 28 years prior without it. The second way that partying your plants empowers you to eat more plants is it walks people through the process of figuring out what they think sucks about healthy eating. Specifically, I help you come clean about all the things about healthy eating that suck cantaloupe balls for your unique life. I'm going to read you a little snippet from page numero 8. All you have to do to eat more plants, a brief overview of this book. I've been fortunate enough that hundreds of ladies and some men, hey Kent, from all over the world have actually traded their hard-earned or well-gambled, I don't ask or judge, dollars for individual help. I find that amazing as a concept. I mean, I'm extremely grateful, but how are we living in a time where we need help doing something that we've been doing since we were dinosaurs or whatever? We need to eat in order to be alive, but very few of us know how to do that in a way that makes us feel alive. For a lack of a better or more intelligent term, it is whack that we don't know how to eat. But the struggle is real and the struggle is in your hands. I've reverse engineered the process I've used to help all the people I've tutored over the years go from feeling truly unable to consume more healthy stuff to being as chill and routine with it as they are with their teeth brushing. The first step in partying in your plants is to come clean about all the things about clean eating that suck cantaloupe balls. Things gotta suck before they get better. That's usually the way that life goes. The only place to go is up. To a better place, where you're eating well without extreme feats of willpower or extreme food FOMO. To get there, you have to come to terms with what parts of healthy eating are the peach pits for you. Having kids who don't want to join you in your Pop-Tart embargo or coworker whose hobby is forcing people to eat her homemade eclairs aren't universal struggles. We have to name what exactly is coming between you and quinoa or your personal culinary bugaboo to get it out of the way. Also, let's be honest, there's nothing better than having someone validate your struggles. So that's what I'm here to do because your struggles are real and they can make healthy eating a bummer. And here's a warning. You might have to take responsibility for the times that you've made life harder for yourself too. Prepare to get honest and know that it's okay. I've done well-intentioned but ridiculous stuff too. Like when I schlepped a Jack LaLanne juicer with me on a romantic vacation to a yurt in Big Sur with my boyfriend and spent way more time than I'm willing to admit washing, juicing, cleaning, and pooping than canoodling or relaxing. That was from page 8. Of Party in Your Plants. Now I'm going to read a little snippet from page 21 that also talks to you about why my book helps you get clear on all the things that suck cantaloupe balls about healthy eating for you. Unless you get clear on what's holding you back, you can bookmark all the pretty recipes you want and fill your produce drawers from the farmer's market, but you will continue to let those whoopie pies into your life. Is it hard when your coworkers bring in donuts? Does it stink when you're beat after a long day and your loved ones throw a fit when dinner includes color other than Kraft orange? Is it embarrassing to order on dates when you're self-conscious about seeming high maintenance? Believe it or not, coming clean with yourself is the only step you need to take for smooth sailing into plant-packed paradise. I will catamaran you from there. Know that it's normal for healthy eating to be a drag when you're first starting. Then turn the page for solutions. The most common healthy eating struggles. You are not an alien for feeling like healthy eating is so inconvenient that it feels wrong not stopping for fast food en route from work. Is not family friendly when your kids will only eat vegetables with a mountain of cheese or when your fiance throws a fit if dinner doesn't include meat. Feels like mental and physical work, which after a long day of work simply does not work. Might result in couples therapy because if forced to choose between you and chicken wings, Bay would choose the wings. That is just a sampling. I go through so many other ways that I acknowledge that healthy eating sucks. In fact, this was the hardest thing for me to trim down. My editor and I really struggled to keep this list as short as possible, but it's still very, very long. So you can look forward to that. On page 21. Now, let me tell you the third way that partying your plants empowers you to eat more plants. That is, it empowers readers to chill the F out because it's their most of the time that matters most. I talk about how our bodies can handle some Cheetos and that the stress that comes from stressing over healthy food is worse than said Cheetos. So I'm going to read for you from page 17, a section called Your Body Can Handle Cheetos. One of the notions that trips people up is thinking that healthy eating means being perfect. This is fake news. Healthy eating isn't an all the time thing. It's most of the time that matters most. I tell the college students I speak to that they can still wind up with an A in class if they still get some B's and even a C. I tell the clients I work with that it's still possible to win the Super Bowl if you lose some preseason games. And I tell my mom that I'm still an angel of a daughter, even if I screamed, "I hate you," more than once growing up, because true love is unconditional. This all or nothing approach is a huge reason why healthy eating can feel like a raw deal. Thinking it's either nada or the full Monty causes people to quit before they start, because who wants to make that choice about anything? The truth is, our body can handle some Cheetos. Unless you have a specific allergy, your body can figure out what to do when it has to digest a little crap. Throughout this book and for the rest of your life, I encourage you to simply focus on eating more plants than you do crap. Health and happiness will follow. It couldn't be simpler, but simple doesn't always mean easy. This is where my whole Party in Your Plants thing comes into play. I created Party in My Plants to make eating well as fun and as enjoyable and as non-sucky as a party. When you try it, you'll feel so fantastic that life will feel like a daily fiesta too. Long gone are the days that healthy eating has to be a drag. Those days haven't been the days since Ross and Rachel were on a break. It's time to party in your plants. Oh, and much like I accidentally always leave my reusable shopping bags at home, I want to encourage you to intentionally leave your self-judgment and "why am I the worst-ness" out of all of this. For what it's worth, I am not judging you. Fun. Yes. Okay. So expect lots of Friends references in the book. I'm Friends. We're one. I wrote the book while listening to Friends. Friends is in my blood. If you're a Friends fan, you will love this book. Okay, so number four on the 9 ways Party My Plants empowers you to eat more plants. It defines healthy eating as simply eating more plants in a given lifetime, year, week, day, meal, snack, drink than you do crap. Crap being defined as chemical, refined, artificial, and processed foods. And for this, I'm going to read from page 15, which is the start of part two called When Healthy is Healthy and How to Turn Your Clean Food Frown Upside Down. Healthy eating doesn't have a universal definition, which sucks, by the way. How much easier would life be if healthy was like an outlet with one hole we could all plug into and foreigners could simply buy a universal adapter? But it's more like headphone cords, which somehow always get tangled up in seconds, no matter what we do, causing chaos and stress and burden. Luckily, in order to live a life wherein simply fixing a meal for yourself isn't as screwy as a headphone cord, I've created my own universal adapter. Turn the page here. Healthy eating equals eating more plants than you do crap. Everyone seems to swear by their specific diet, right? There are Zone fanatics and Whole30 devotees. Millions of people are reliant on Weight Watchers, committed to being paleo or vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, lacto-ovo or octagonal vegetarian. And while they may disagree on grains, oils, meat, dairy, and so on, they all have one thing in common: plants. You will never meet a diet that doesn't encourage more plants, more produce, more veggies and fruits. Hell, Weight Watchers even bribes people to eat more plants. 0 points, darling. Focusing on eating more plants and less crap is the simplest and healthiest way to live. It's not about a label, not about rules, and has nothing to do with restriction. A plant-based diet also doesn't mean vegan, though it could. It doesn't mean paleo, though it could mean that too. It just means that the bulk of your diet comes from plants. So what even are plants? Plants are not made in a factory. They are things that someone, maybe you, but probably a farmer, planted. They're the living colors that line the perimeter of the grocery store. They grow mold, which is frustrating, but it just means they're alive, which is a good thing. They don't have pretty packaging, celebrity endorsements, or clever marketing slogans. They're fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, whole grains, pure oils, and herbs. And what is crap? Crap is chemical, refined, artificial, processed. It comes in boxes, bags, or wrappers. It flashes bright, well-branded labels like natural, healthy, good source of fiber, whole grain, fresh, sugar-free, low-fat. It's the snack that you find in the dusty box in your pantry and remember you bought it 2 years ago, but it still hasn't aged a day. It has ingredient lists longer than your grocery list and includes words that sound made up because those ingredients are made up in a lab. It's pre-made food you can open, heat, and eat now. It's frozen dinners, bags of chips, boxes of cereals, baggies of baked goods, bars, bottles, cans, jars, and tubs. And so finally, what is plant-based? A plant-based diet means that the base of your diet is plants. Plants are what you mostly eat. It's the food group where most of your calories come from. The majority shareholder of the real estate on your plate, your shopping cart, your fridge, and your Instagram feed. I can hear you wondering, am I supposed to eat only plants? I say, only eat only plants if you want to. Since plants are the most nutritionally dense stuff you can consume, the more absolutely the merrier. But that's not to say there can't be room for cheese, cake or cheesecake, chicken or chips. Some call it the 80-20 rule, but I don't like numbers or rules, so I call it the eat more plants than crap principle. I love that. Okay, so number five is it doesn't push perfectionism. My book does not push perfectionism. Quite the contrary. There's a lesson actually about how if hair conditioner can substitute as shaving cream in a pinch, you don't have to get too attached to specific ingredients in a recipe. So for that, I'm going to read from page 39. And while I'm flipping there, I want to say that in my Good Morning America segment, I talked about using doppelgangers and how if you know, a recipe calls for butternut squash and you only have sweet potato, just use that doppelganger. I'm so bummed because I did not write about that in my book. I came up with it after. And I love it so much. I love this doppelgangers thing. And they projected it on the screen on Good Morning America. And it was really cool. But unless I wrote it and I can't find it, I don't think I mentioned it in the book. That makes me sad. Okay, here's from page 39, if conditioner can be shaving cream. Sometimes the mere idea of following a recipe can make you run right into the arms of a restaurant or to your delivery app. Recipes are rad. They're helpful. This book has more than 100 of them, but they're not necessarily necessary. You know how when you're in the shower and you realize you want to shave before you leg flirt with your hot yoga instructor, but you're out of shaving cream, so you just grab some body wash or conditioner and shave with that instead, and the world doesn't fall apart? Same goes for subbing kale for spinach, or yellow onions for white ones, or almond butter for peanut butter. My point is, do your best. Use what you have. If you need to blend a smoothie with water instead of almond milk, don't have a cow. If you need to sub cane sugar for coconut sugar, sweet. If the recipe calls for 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, but you only have one, don't run out to the store. Just make it with one. God, I really wish I'd written about doppelgangers there. Okay, that's next book. Okay, so number six in how partying your plants empowers peeps to eat more plants is it gives people permission to not try to reinvent the wheel every single meal. It's like the trend of powerful people wearing the same outfits every day in order to avoid decision fatigue. You collect some favorite go-to meals and roll with them to keep pumping plants into your body without decision fatigue or stress. So for this, I'm just going to read a little smidgel from page 40. I kind of just spoiled it, but I'll read it anyway. In a section called Suit Yourself. Another way to easily eat more plants without hating or radically changing your life is to be more like Steve Jobs or President Obama or Mark Zuckerberg and Simon Cowell. There's a reason these powerful men make a point of wearing the same outfit every day, because one outfit is simply all they can afford. Wait, scratch that. In recent years, scientists have found that our decision-making energy is a depletable resource. Decision fatigue means that the more choices you make throughout the day, the more exhausted your brain becomes, and eventually you start leaning on laziness, impulsiveness, and what freaking everness. As Obama said when he still lived in the White House, I wear only gray or blue suits when I'm trying to pare down decisions. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing because I have too many other decisions to make. Almost everyone feels like dinner is the most difficult meal to get a handle on. Does any of this sound familiar?
I'm great with breakfast since I have a green smoothie or oatmeal, and lunch is usually a salad, but dinner is the issue.
Dinners are tough because my husband just wants something filling after a long day, and it's hard to be inventive and make evening meals as healthy as possible when I'm tired.
I'm completely fried after a long day, which means I unfortunately usually eat something unhealthy like fries.
Remember, the more choices you make, the more exhausted your brain becomes, and eventually your decisions fall back on laziness, impulsiveness, and what freaking everness. The goal with healthy eating is to eat well all day long, not just like until it's dark and your brain is kaput and you order pizza. The way you make your brain not kaput is by not expending so much freaking energy on your food. Take advantage of mix and matching. I rotate through 3 breakfasts, 6 snacks, 2 lunches, 8 dinners, and 2 desserts each week. Look at what you ate today and consider, how can you vary your plans while keeping a familiar foundation so you don't waste any brain power? If you started your day with oatmeal and blueberries, what if tomorrow you added banana and a dollop of peanut butter instead? And the day after that, you went tropical with chopped pineapple and coconut. And then you went dessert for breakfast because it's Friday and mixed in cacao nibs and almond butter. And then you went superfood buck wild and added chia seeds and goji berries. And you wrapped up the week with apple pie oatmeal, apple, cinnamon, raw walnuts, and raisins. I like that one. And you can also substitute in that example oatmeal for protein pancakes or waffles. I always make that and then vary the toppings, or chia pudding. That's great. Or you can just mix and match stuff in your smoothies while we're on the topic of adding variety to your breakfasts. Okay, number 7. My book encourages being a sneakily awesome healthy party guest instead of being a visibly needy one by teaching the 2 to 3 must-bring things for every affair. Okay, for this, I'm fast-forwarding to page 136 if you want to read along with me. It's a short one. So in case you didn't know, I'm not reading yet. The book is divided into all these different sections called what to make when dot, dot, dot. So what to make when you're entertaining or going somewhere to be entertained is what I'm reading from right now. I pride myself on being a low-key entertainee. I, Your Honor, need not much to have a good time, because I bring it all myself. Whether it's a 4th of July cookout, a 10-person dinner party, or a meet my new baby brunch, my rule of thumb is do not expect a plant party awaiting, so bring the plant party yourself. The cool thing about taking care of yourself is that when you bring goodies, you come off looking like an incredibly generous guest. Win-win. So the 2 or 3 things to bring to every affair. 1, a hearty protein-based dish. 2, a dessert. And 3, kombucha. You got to bring hearty plant party because you'll likely have no protein options to fill you up. Most salads and veggie sides at these junctions are the reason people think eating healthy sucks in the first place. Dessert, because the worst thing in the world is not being able to eat dessert. The only thing worse is eating dessert that makes you feel like crap. They are the easiest to make. They give you an opportunity to prove how healthy food can be even yummier than the other stuff on offer, which usually leads you to stealing the show and pranking everyone with the big reveal that the dish they're swooning over is both delicious and nutritious. And then kombucha, because it mixes perfectly with light spirits, or perfectly takes the place of light spirits. See my Bucha Mule on page 155. Cliffhanger there for the Bucha Mule. Okay, number 8. Because I am more obsessed with my life outside of the kitchen than inside it, this book doesn't force people to fall in love with cooking. Instead, it teaches readers how to maximize even the smallest amount of time they spend in the kitchen by using my philosophy of leftovers are the bestovers, i.e. doing great things even with the smallest bits of leftover foods. It also teaches peeps how to make many when you make any, i.e. when you've got your butt in the kitchen to cook, might as well double or triple what you're cooking. For this, I'm coming at you from page 100 on making leftovers the best overs. I am so anti-batch cooking, you could call me the no-batch bitch. The idea of spending my whole Sunday cooking when I could be living seems as absurd as getting my fingernails painted in a color other than a top coat because I know they'll just chip on my walk home from the salon. Instead, I implement this simple philosophy. When I make any, I make many. I double, triple, even quadruple every single thing that I make. Why get my booty into my kitchen, my hands covered in garlic, my kitchen coated in lemon juice, and my floor sprinkled with kale shavings just to create a one-time thing? When you make something, make many portions. If a recipe only calls for one cup of quinoa, cook three. Portion out a third, use it in the recipe, and then save the leftover two-thirds. Sauce? Double it. Baked goods? Double them and freeze the leftovers. The only thing that's really not leftoverable is a smoothie. Everything else is fair game. Leftovers can be the difference between eating crap and eating healthy. And they can be the difference between eating when you're hungry or not eating when you're hungry. Read, they're hangry helpers. Leftovers work in two ways. One, you can make and store dishes like soups, salads, or pastas that you can just heat up or eat cold. Two, you can make and store leftover ingredients like plain quinoa, roasted tempeh, or baked sweet potatoes to use with other ingredients and make epic impromptu dishes on the fly. And then I go through a bunch of different pieces of advice on using leftovers. Save everything. Don't forget the lubrication. Test drive many vehicles, get your freezer in on the fun, use glass to save your ass, and divide and conquer. And I'll let you read all about those from page 101. And number 9 here in how my book empowers you to eat more plants is, ultimately, the focus is on powering readers to eat more plants so they can be an even better version of themselves in the world. This is not so much a cookbook as it is a strategic guide for fitting healthy meals into your life without rearranging your life to accommodate your healthy meals. Because I believe that eating healthy for healthy eating's sake isn't the point is eating healthfully to go out there and live wonderfully. So I'm going to read to you now how I end the book, and this is from page 331, part 6, Don't Eat Brussels with a Bitch Face, Please. This is the part of the book where, well, it's over. This is the end. It's time to stop drooling over these recipes and go make them. For real, don't just stick a post-it on the ones that look good and put the book back on your shelf. I didn't write this thing to be a hammock for your dust. I'd rather you drip pesto on one page, spill some matcha latte on another, and light part 3 on fire sautéing spinach. Walk that cutie booty into the kitchen and cook something. Now, said with love. And after that, consciously continue sliding more crap off and edging more plants onto your plates or bowls or mugs, fistfuls, even cocktails. Plant partying is not a fad, my friend. Even though it might be trending on Instagram or magazine stands, it's not a fad because fads go out of fad and eating a diet of primarily plants will never not be fab. You keep eating Brussels without a bitch face and the only thing that will become dull is not feeling, looking, and living your best. It's all good. Relax, smile, play pickup frisbee, binge Game of Thrones, throw your dog a bone, travel to Thailand, kiss that girl, try improv, run a glow-in-the-dark 5K, feng shui your nightstand. You'll have the energy to do it all if you eat more plants with a smile. I'm smiling as I say this. I'm almost crying. Can you tell? I mean, I can sometimes tell by someone's voice when they smile. Big smile over here. And I'll leave us here for now, okay? Next time we chat about my book, I'll let you into the wonderful world of the planty food that awaits you in the pages. But until then, you can check out my Instagram at Party in My Plants because I keep reposting all the amazing people that are making the Party in Your Plants recipes on my stories. Plus, I've been going live with my husband, Jesse, each week on Instagram and Facebook to cook from the book, which has been so fun, and you should join. So if you hop on my mailing list at partyinmyplants.com, you'll see a place to sign up for emails from me so you can know when I'm going live. And that's a lot of stuff, I know. But I want to thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I want to thank you if you've already bought Party in Your Plants, if you're thinking about buying Party in Your Plants, or if you've just asked someone to buy you Party in Your Plants. And where should you go now? Partyinyourplants.com or to your kitchen to go eat some plants. I will talk to you soon. Lots of love. Bye.